Brahma became the engineer of the universe. And the Lord himself took charge of the maintenance of the universe as Vishnu. Brahma was generated from Rajogun of Prakriti, or the mode of passion in nature. And Vishnu became the Lord of the mode of goodness. Vishnu, being transcendental to all the modes, is always aloof from materialistic affection. And this has already been explained. From Brahma, that is Rudra, Shiva, who is in charge of the mode of ignorance or darkness, he destroys the whole creation by the will of the Lord. Therefore, all three, namely Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, are incarnations of the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu.
So that's an important point. The Hindus don't understand that. When they teach in school Hinduism, everybody thinks, oh, these are the three gods. They don't know that their incarnations come.
From Brahma, the other demigods like Daksha, Marici, Manu and many others become incarnated to generate living entities within the universe. This Garbhodakshayi Vishnu is glorified in the Vedas in the hymns of Garbhastuti, which begins with the description of the Lord as having thousands of heads, etc. The Garbhodakshayi Vishnu is the Lord of the universe, and although he appears to be lying within the universe, he is always transcendental. This also has already been explained. The Vishnu, who is the plenary portion of the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, is the supersoul of the universal life, and he is known as the maintainer of the universe, or Shirodakshayi Vishnu. So the three features of the original Purush are thus understood, and all the incarnations within the universe are emanations from this Shirodakshayi Vishnu.
We were just reading about Mama. Did you speak to Mama?
No, I had in mind when later I
You nonsense. In different millennium there are different incarnations and they are innumerable. Although some of them are very prominent, such as Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Rama, Shringa, Ramana, and many others. These incarnations are called Lila incarnations. Then there are qualitative incarnations such as Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Rudra, who take charge of the different modes of material nature. Lord Vishnu is not different from the personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is the marginal position between the personality of Godhead and the living entity or Jiva. Brahma is always a jiva tattva, the highest, highest living being, for the greatest glory of the Lord is empowered with the potency of the Lord for creation, and he is called Brahma. His power is like the power of the sun, reflected in valuable stones and jewels. When there is no such living being to take charge of the post of Brahma, Lord himself becomes a Brahma who takes charge of the post. Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living being, he is a plenary portion of the Lord, but because Lord Shiva is in direct touch with material nature, he is not exactly in the same transcendental position as Lord Vishnu. The difference is like that between milk and curd. Curd is nothing but milk, and yet it cannot be used in place of milk.
The next incarnations are the Manus. Within 1 day's duration of the life of Brahma, which is calculated by our solar system as 4,300,000 in 2,000 years.
Times
1,000 years. There are 14 Manus. So within 1 day's duration of the life of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. Therefore, there are 420 Manus in 1 month of Brahma and 5,040 Manus in 1 year of Brahma. Brahma lives for 100 years of his age, and therefore there are 5,040 times 100 or 504,000 Manus in the duration of Brahma's life. There are innumerable universes with one Brahma in each one of them, and all of them are created and annihilated during the breathing time of the Purusha. Therefore, one can simply imagine how many millions of Manus there are during one breath of the Purusha.
The Manus are prominent within these universes as follows: Yajna, Svayambhuva Manu, Vibhu or Svaro, Chisa Manu, Satyasena as Uttama Manu, Hari as Tamasa Manu, Vaikuntha as Vaivata Manu, Ajita as Chakshus Manu, Vamana as Vaivashavata Manu. The present age is under the Vaivashatu Manu. Svabhuma as Sharani Manu, Vishava as Daksha Sharvani Manu, Vishvaksena as Brahma Sarvani Manu, Brahma Setu as Brahma Sarvani Manu, Sudama as Rudra Sarvani Manu, Yogeshwar as Deva Sarvani Manu, Bhadabhanu as Indra Sarvani Manu, These are the names of one set of 14 manus covering 4,300,000,000 solar years as described above.
Then there are the Yuga Avatars, or the incarnation of the millennium. The Yugas are known as Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. The incarnations of each Yuga are of different colors. The colors are white, red, black and yellow. In the Dwapar Yuga, Lord Krishna in black color appears. And in the Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya in yellow color appears. So all the incarnations of the Lord are mentioned in the revealed scriptures. There is no scope for an imposter to become an incarnation. For an incarnation must be mentioned in the Shastras. An incarnation does not declare himself to be an incarnation of the Lord, but great sages agree by the symptoms mentioned in the revealed scriptures. The features of the incarnation and the particular type of mission which he has to execute are mentioned in the revealed scriptures.
Go ahead, Apart from the direct incarnations, there are innumerable empowered incarnations. They are also mentioned in revealed scriptures. Such incarnations are directly as well as indirectly empowered. When they are directly empowered, they are called incarnations. But when they are indirectly empowered, they are called vibhutis. Directly empowered incarnations are the Kumaras, Narada, Prithu, Sesha, Ananta, etc. As far as vibhutis are concerned, they are very explicitly described in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Vibhuti Yoga chapter. And for all these different types of incarnations, the fountainhead is Garbhadaksha and Vishnu. Magyanatimirandasya janagalaslakayam shaktusmiritam jena tasmaya shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mahavishnam shaktam jena bhutale shaya rupaka ramaya dadati sattadantikam shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri adaita gadadha shri vasari gaura bhaktivedanta hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare So, as everything is scientifically explained here, the different Vishnus, the different functions they have, point is that the Lord is behind everything. It's not just by chance that things are going on. There's a plan. Therefore, it behooves us to exercise our intelligence to find out what is the plan of the Lord, so that we can please Him. This is our constitutional position, and if we act on that position, we'll find full satisfaction, superseded, that is satisfied, the soul will really be satisfied. We'll really be satisfied in our heart of hearts. Others who don't please the Lord, they can never be satisfied. They're always restless, like Hiranyakashipu. He conquered everything. He was the most successful materialist. Even the demigods were coming to him. He was arranging for the sun to rise because he was controlling the demigods who were in charge of that function and all the different natural functions in the universe. He was behind it all. But still he wasn't satisfied. Because the Lord doesn't directly get involved in rising the sun. He arranges for it through his demigods. And so, Hiranyakashipu was controlling the demigods. They had a fear of him. They were his obedient servants. So, still, if you looked at him, he wasn't satisfied. This is the nature of material life. He wasn't satisfied. He was always restless. His eyes were crooked. He was looking this way and that way. How to enjoy. How to find something else. Some other sense object that he could enjoy. Because even he was enjoying everything possible in the material world, still he wasn't satisfied. So this is the condition. Therefore we say, it's phantasmagoria. They're running after some will-of-the-wisp, some imaginary thing. It's not possible. We give the example of the testicle of the bull. It's hanging from the behind of the bull. And the duck is following behind, thinking it's a fish. At any moment it's going to drop. Then you'll be happy. So like that, that kind of following after something which is not going to bring. Because everybody's going after these things. Power, position, influence, money, women, land, whatever they're going after, they're thinking this will satisfy me. But it's not capable to satisfy you. So therefore we see that everyone is just like spinning your wheels, you know, in ice or snow. You start the car in the mud, sometimes the wheels just spin. They don't catch. So this is what they're doing. They're glowing. They look very important. And some of these professors, they wear suit and tie, their hair is combed, they look so... Yesterday I saw some elderly man, they look distinguished. But they're running after what? The so-called truth. But they don't know what is the truth. So here, the only way you can approach the truth is by here. How else are you going to... by speculation, are you going to imagine that this is the way the universe is arranged with the three Vishnus and each one is a different... Nobody's going to come up with this kind of explanation. It has to be heard. Therefore, we're stressing on this point, or the Bhagavatam is stressing on it, what Chaitanya is stressing, Srila Prabhupada is stressing, of submissive hearing. Then you can understand the truth. And they'll say, oh, that's your truth. But no, it's not our truth. It's like Bhagavad Gita says, the body, the living energy is changing from boyhood to youth all day. So is that not Hindu truth? That's truth to everyone. So whether they believe or not, that's another thing. But at least we should present it in such a way, such an attractive way, such a powerful way, that they become curious to hear. This is what we're interested in. That's why we distribute the books. And we present it in such a way that they may be attracted to, of course it's always voluntary, but they may be attracted to go a little deeply into the subject, to try to understand what is being said here. That's why Prabhupada was so encouraging about book distribution. Anybody who distributes little books, he was pleased by that. And even they may later on leave, the devotees may leave, or the karmis may not, but still, that credit will remain with them. This is the wonderful nature of devotional service. That even a little bit done will remain with us. Even if we become the worst sinner, still, that credit is there, eternally. And when we again leave, by circumstance, by the mercy of the Vaishnava, we take up devotional service, we begin from that part, whatever we come. So this is... This can remove us from envy or from you can say, righteous anger. The materialist becomes so angry in the name of religion. Oh, you committed a sin, therefore you're going to hell. They're like cursing you because their Bible curses you, so they're just repeating the Bible. That's their idea. But no, nobody's cursed. Everyone has a chance. Even Bhagavad Gita describes in the 16th chapter how the demons go down. But still, they can come up again. That will depend on them. So in this way, there's no envy of other living entities or wishing them ill. We may even kill them, but we're not wishing them ill. The Kshatriya is described when he's killing his enemy, he's smiling. Because he's acting on the principle of religion. It's a strange duty. So it's not out of hatred. We don't hate anything. Like the Lord Jesus said, hate the sin, not the sinner. Well, why do we hate the sin? Because it causes you to suffer. So we have compassion. We're not happy to see people suffer. Therefore we do preach against the sin. We're not like the Mayavadis. They want to go to the liberation, let everybody else go to hell. No, Prahlad is not concerned on his own account. He says to Mother Shingadev, on my own account, I have not an anxiety. But when I see others are suffering, so this is the exalted position of the devotees. They're an anxiety that others are being deluded by the external energy of Maya. And therefore, they're always active to try to bring them to their proper consciousness. Wake them out of it. Like Bhaktivinoda is praying. Jeev Jagra, Jeev. So how long are you going to stay sleeping on the lap of the witch called Maya? They're all sleeping on the Maya. So we have to wake them up. No. But in doing that, if we are very sincere, then Krishna will protect us. Because we have to preach in that. Like yesterday I've seen that. You know, practically, the women are becoming more and more like prostitutes. And unless we get Krishna's mercy, we're going to be disturbed by that.
I see. That's why the last men are at school, because the women are so rude. They had a booth in front of me, some sorority girls. It was the whole time they were talking, just that voice, you know, of what the Bhaktivinoda says. Alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy. So there was like some festive mirth and joy. They were enjoying their youth. Yeah. But it was just like, it's complete ignorance of who they actually are. And because in this country, especially, women are becoming so prominent, and therefore, the country is going down. The Greeks used to say, when the women are prominent, the country declines. There's going to be next president will be a woman, in my estimation. Mm-hmm. Won't be surprised. So, we have to remain steady. But preach it. You have to preach. Krishna will help us if we're sincere. Okay, anything else? Because this is Maya's kingdom, so we're coming out of Maya, so we shouldn't take unnecessary risk. But still, we should preach. If our mood is to, we have compassion for them, then that will protect us. If our mood is to exploit them, then we'll deviate. Just this morning I was reading on the news in Colorado, they're having a vote to try to make it so. The referendum, they call it too, that marriage is the definition of one man and one woman. They want to encode that. And there's going to be a vote now next week on that referendum. So, and so one of the big priests, minister, who is pushing it, he's the head of a big church, multi-million dollar church, and he's married, he's got five children. So. But he just now, a male prostitute has come forward and said, this man is, every month he's having sex with me, this minister. And that minister resigned, so there's truth to it. And the homosexual guy is saying, he used to call me, and because he was like a male stripper or something, so he's a male prostitute. And then we'd take methamphetamine and we'd enjoy it. But then I saw him on television and I think, why is this guy? He's against homosexuals marrying. What's wrong with homosexuals marrying? Why did he let them marry? And therefore I'm coming forward just to give his name. So my point is that Maya is so strong that we've seen it in this country that the danger is always there for the preacher. another I heard yesterday, or the day before, the one minister was talking to another minister saying, so-and-so told me that he was glorifying one minister, and the minister told him that when he got home, on the radio he was talking, when he got home to that house that night, he said, why are you tempting me with pride, the one minister told the other minister, because you glorified me in public like that, and that's going to make me proud. And then he said, I thought you were so advanced, you weren't worried about pride. And the minister said, no, you'll always be afraid of pride. Like that was the move. Which is good for us, but I thought the prophet wasn't afraid of that pride. He was completely indifferent to that. That's what the Christians can't understand, how somebody can be at that exalted level, that he's no longer tempted. Practically speaking, the prophet was completely... I mean, he would take the position of a fallen servant and so on. But really, when he said, he would say things that you could see, that he was no longer subjected to Maya. Just like Haridas Thakur. Maya came with folded hands and said, now you're servant. You passed on my festival. So like Prabhupada was at that level, where the material energy no longer had any attraction to him. Nor any repulsion. He was just seeing Krishna, going on serving Krishna. So, that is open to us. But we can't imitate that. You have to be very careful to be honest about our adhikarik, our actual position. Then we'll be cautious. But when we get to that stage, that highest stage, like Madhavendra Puri, he says the same thing too. Like on the level of Christ, all of these people who are on the level of Christ. The Christians just make Christ the only way because he was very exalted, and so they make him God. But there are many in our tradition who are like that. Bhaktisiddhanta, he openly said, I know no fear. Nobody can say that in a humble way. Maybe somebody with bravado, some macho man, can say, I'm not afraid. But nobody can say it because everybody's afraid of death. Who's not afraid of death? But Bhaktisiddhanta can say it like that. Prabhupada can say it. Madhavendra Puri says, morning bath, I bid you. He didn't care anymore for the rules and regulations. He was so advanced. So this is the goal. Not that we just accept Christ as our Savior and go on with our sinning, because we don't. There's no way to get out of sinning. Like this male prostitute was saying, everybody's a sinner, so on. And so that's what trickled down into the whole culture. Everybody's a sinner, so you do whatever you want, I'll do whatever I want. And like this, the nation declines under the influence of these elements. Loose women, prostitutes, weak men. And so even in the highest place, it goes down, down, down. And if somebody is moral, or actually more than, then everybody's envious of him.
This is material world. So we're looking, the Prabhupada was looking to create some people who could actually be at that level of Brahma, a Sanchati, a Kanchati. No more hanging, no more lamentation. Going on, getting a taste from the devotional service, then we become indifferent to anything that the world is offering. When we get an actual taste for Shravanam Kirtan, then what is there? Profit, adoration, distinction, fame, money, wealth, all these things that the materialists are chasing after, that's being offered. What does it mean to us? It has no more hold. Because we see, like Prabhupada, when he left his family, took sannyas, came out, he was living in Vrindavan alone for a long time. He said, now I'm seeing the naked face of the material universe. He writes like that. The naked face. Well, it's just, what is it? It's just an illusion. You're running after something. It's not going to bring you happy. The happiness is there within you. Like Hiranyakashi Poo. He couldn't find happiness because he didn't look within. And within, here's the chart. Which one is the Paramatma feature? Shridhadasha?
The two features.
Here it is. Brahmadasha Vishnu is the super soul. Okay, any questions? Comments?
Did you have a question?
I have a comment. Why you didn't call it? Maybe you should call it for now. What time is it?
8:15.
Mr. Kind, I noticed that people, they come to sign the table and they go, but then after 1-2 weeks, it's like ancient history. Unless we, if we follow up quicker, they allow them to remember and have a good experience. And we can write them an email, but to talk to them, it's good if it's done sooner. If I call up somebody now who signed up a month ago, they'll say, huh? Who is that? Bhakti Yoga? Oh yeah, I stopped it. But if it was yesterday, then they'll say, oh yeah, how are you?